You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock. It's Thursday night. This is LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to The Writer's Block.
I love this.
And Carol of the Bells, I might add.
That's named for, you know, Jim and me.
What?
Carol of the Bells.
Oh, well, no, you're Bobby of the Bells. I am Jim Christina, your host, sitting in the studio with the lovely, vivacious Bobby Jean Bell and her husband, Jim, who is, well, he's back over in a chair. And tonight we have Henry Parker be calling us here, most Scotchy, and hopefully he's got some really cool stuff to tell us about his Western blog. And we have a really great guest in the studio with us tonight, and you'll get to meet her here just as soon as Henry's done talking, which I hope he's...
He'll call
and him. Here he is.
And here he is.
Speaking of Henry. Henry Park.
Of all people.
Of all the gin joints in all the world.
Merry Christmas.
I had to walk into yours.
You did.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Henry. And happy Thanksgiving. I missed you guys.
Oh, yeah, you did,
yes,
huh?
Yes. Well, we're in the holiday now. So,
we are.
Yes.
Excellent.
What do you got for us, Henry?
Well, I'll tell you. I've got a couple of interesting stories that are coming for Sunday's Henry's Western Roundup. Of course, the best story I can't really tell you. On Tuesday night, I saw Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight, but I can't say anything about it. They have a press embargo. I had to promise not only to not review it, but not mention it on Facebook or Twitter that I'd seen it until December 21st.
Did they specifically say radio?
No, we are not going to.
Nobody thought about radio. I think that's why I'm sort of sneaking around it. And what? The rumor is, though, that if you get Tarantino mad, he sends Samuel L. Jackson and Kurt Russell to your house and it's all over.
You know, I always wanted to meet them.
Yeah.
But not as your last meeting, no.
No,
no. But I hope that I'm allowed to say that it's got a wonderful score by the maestro, Ennio Morricone, and it's his first Western score in 40 years.
Oh, wow.
Since My Name is Nobody.
Wow.
And I've got a review of a very impressive little Western movie called C-Bar, which is the name of the ranch where the main characters, the Barnett family, live. They come upon a young woman whose family has been slaughtered, and the Barnetts decide to track down the men who are responsible. It's a very entertaining film, not needlessly brutal, but it's unflinching and pretty tough at times. It's beautifully shot in Arizona, and the story of how it got made is as good as the movie itself. The man who wrote the novel, and then the screenplay, and stars in it, Mark Bauer, he's 65, retired. He's always been a reader, but he never wrote anything before. His businesses were horseshoeing and fixing transmissions. But he retires, he writes the novel, self-publishes it on Amazon, and he hears from Patrick Ball, a film school student in Indiana who reads it and wants to make a movie. And they do. They get it going with a Kickstarter campaign. Mm-hmm. The entire cast is non-professional. He found his female lead working behind the counter at a feed store. But they've been really well-directed, and it really works. It's just an hour. Because they're planning to do it as an internet series, and I think they just rolled camera on the number 2 episode.
Hmm.
And let's see, a few weeks ago at the Autry Center, I had the pleasure of introducing one of Clint Eastwood's finest films, The Outlaw Josie Wales.
That's right.
A great event. I got input from the female lead, Sandra Locke, and learned so many fascinating things about the film, I decided to expand my talk into an article for the Roundup. And one of the most interesting and totally unexpected things I learned was the story of the author who wrote some very popular and respected novels, but who had a secret identity, but not like a superhero.
Okay, give.
Before he became a novelist and made up a whole backstory for himself, he was one of the most extreme leaders of the Ku Klux Klan.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. And yeah, it's quite a story. And I was saying, of course, I didn't speak to you folks over Thanksgiving, and so I didn't get to tell you what's in the current roundup right now. In January, we're getting a new Western with a new Eastwood.
Diablo. Scott, right? Stars,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott Eastwood is starring in Diablo, which is, he plays a Civil War vet who's tracking down his wife's kidnappers. And let's see, in Spain, Chip Baker Films, the folks who made the really, really fun Six Bullets to Hell, have just made another spaghetti Western called The Price of Death, written and directed by Danny Garcia. And let's see, we're getting into award season, of course, so we're hearing all the nominations for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of stuff have I heard for Westerns, but the Independent Spirits Awards were announced for Bone Tomahawk. Richard Jenkins was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, and writer-director Craig Zoller has been nominated for Best Screenplay.
Hmm. I saw that movie, actually.
How do you like it?
It started off a little slow, but it got really good.
I thought so. It's funny because, of course, everyone talks about how bloody some of it is, and there's no getting around it.
Right.
But I found the best stuff, really, was the sort of road stuff of that group of men traveling
mm-hmm.
to get to the place where all the crazy people were.
Yeah, and I would hesitate to give a spoiler alert about the ending, but that was kind of gruesome.
Yeah. Tell people to brace themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Children. I thought my wife was going to throw up in her chair.
Ooh, not good. Yeah, I've been hearing some scary stuff about how rough, the DiCaprio one
mm-hmm.
Is just incredibly brutal. But, not in a weird exploitive way. It's just that it's a very brutal and true story. So that's how it is sometimes.
That's how it is sometimes. What else you got for us, Henry?
Let's see. For the roundup, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
True West, the next issue is coming out in some places it's already out, the January issue, which is their the Best of the West issue, the annual, and I get to say, in my humble opinion, what are all the best video releases, home video releases, series, Blu-rays, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be making quite a few enemies and a couple of friends.
I'll bet.
That's a huge, that's a lot of decisions you have to make in that case. I mean,
it really is.
Yeah.
I'm particularly happy we got to introduce for the first time two new categories, which is Best Silent Western. These are, of course, not new silent Westerns, but some really beautiful releases of beautifully restored Westerns, and also Best Singing Cowboy Release. And we've got a couple of really terrific collections there.
Cool. Well, good on you. Henry, it's great having you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's always great to call in.
And we're going to be probably not talking to you now again until the 7th of January.
Is it something I said?
No.
No, because next week is our Christmas show, and then we're dark for 2 weeks.
And then on the 7th, what's happening?
The 7th, we have Craig Johnson with us.
Oh, my gosh, that is so exciting.
Yeah,
Longmire.
We can hardly contain ourselves.
Gee, Henry, maybe you should come and join us in the studio for that one.
Maybe you should.
Because he's calling in, but I'm sure, why don't you plan that if you can get that on your calendar?
I will do that, absolutely.
I'd love to,
thank you.
And we always love to see you know that.
Well, I appreciate that. I love to be seen.
All right, my friend, we got to leave.
Okay.
All right, take care.
You too. Good
night, folks. Bye-bye. Henry Park from Henry's Western Roundup. He's a great guy. And very
so knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable. Okay, Bobby, take it away.
Okay, well, we are so excited to have the guest in our studio.
She's excited to be here.
She's excited to be here. Yes. She and her husband had a very long drive down today from Sacramento. We have in the studio author and blogger Heidi Gilbert, but we also know her as Heidi Schussman, and that's the pen name that she writes under, and that's also her Facebook name. And she made the trip down today. She loves the adventure of travel. And also, she's a foodie. They love great food, great wine.
She blogged about everything. Good Lord, this is the bloggedest woman.
Yeah, she writes actually three blogs besides her books, which we're going to be talking about tonight. But her blogs are really fun. She writes Dashing Bold Adventure. And then she has, what's the food? The First Miracle. But you do the number one, the one ST Miracle, which is all about food and wine. And my mouth was watering.
Wine?
Yes. And then she interviews authors on her H. Schussman blog. And these are all hosted by Blogspot. So I know that Heidi will give us all the information.
She will,
I'm sure. So that you can get them. Her first book, Counterpoint, introduced two main characters, Sean McGee and a female doctor nicknamed Sport. Their romance and adventures continue in her soon-to-be-published second novel. Now you have to help me pronounce it because I'm not...
El Tiburón.
There you go. El Tiburón, expected to be out December 31st, published by Vanspire Publishing. An avid gardener with a passion for her husband, for travel and writing, please welcome to the Writer's Block Studio, Heidi Schussman. We're so happy to have you with us.
Those guys
welcome.
Get so loud, we have to send them out of the studio.
I didn't know that all fit in here.
You'd be surprised if we could fit in here.
So I think, would you want to just start with just asking her a little bit, tell us a little bit about herself?
Yeah. Why don't you just give us a little brief history, a little bio.
A bio related to my writing?
If that's what you prefer, sure.
No, well, I've been writing. We travel, of course, uh-huh. And being travelers, you... can't help but experience crazy things out there and just see things. And the way we travel is crazier than a normal person travels because I'm married to Joe, and Joe is crazy. So we do some really...
Joe can come right up to the mic if he wants to.
Joe is sitting right here with a set of headphones on, and he's waving us away, so we're not going to turn his mic on.
He's a silent type. Silent but strong.
With a great-looking hat on, I might add.
Yes. It's a resist all.
Yeah.
But he wanted to do language school to learn Spanish. And so he signed us up for going down to Mexico to a beautiful colonial city called Guanajuato. And I was, that began really some great stories because it was such a stretch for me. It was so much outside my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so we went down there and we arrived at about 5 in the morning. And I was tired, obviously. I don't sleep well on airplanes. So we get off the plane, and we get a taxi. Neither one of us speak Spanish yet because we have not attended Spanish language school yet. And we're going to go live with a family that does not speak English. And he's okay with this, right? But so we pull up in the taxi, and we tell them we're going to number 3. And we give them the address, and the taxi driver pulls up, and he takes our bags out, sets them on the sidewalk, points to the wall, and says, number 3, and drives away. And, there's nobody living at number 3. Oh. So that was the beginning of the dashing and bold adventure. So, it's turned out we've done it 7 years, 7 different places. Well, I shouldn't say different places. We did Guanajuato twice. But we've been to Puebla and Oaxaca and Guatemala. We went to Antigua. Each time we go for a month and we live with a family. And the experience of living with a family is completely different than any other experience where you're staying at a hotel or even a hostel, because you're really staying with the local people, and the kids are coming home from school and they're losing a soccer game, and they're eating off each other's plates, and it's not a hotel, it's home. Right. And so it's just a great experience. And in Antigua, it's just a beautiful city. It's very, I don't know if you've ever been to Guatemala, but it's quite dangerous country, and getting to the city of Antigua was you know, I was scared. And but we have a missionary friend that we had stay in our home. He came up and stayed with us for 7 months, and he became like a foster son to us, you might say. And so he picked us up from the airport and drove us personally to Antigua so that we wouldn't get killed on the way over there, and which worked out really good. I didn't want to get killed. So
apparently it worked out well. You're not dead.
But, you know, I told him before we went, I said, I don't think that we should go. So I tried the God thing. I said, you know, I don't know if God really wants me to go to Guatemala. And he said, well, if God doesn't want you to go, you won't be going, no matter how hard you try. It's okay, but what if, you know, what if he wants me dead? You know, what if he lets me get killed there? And he said, if he wants you dead, he'll kill you wherever you are. And I was like, darn it. So off to Guatemala we went. It turned out to be a life-changing. It was just a wonderful, wonderful month. And so we did go back again and do another month there several years later. And we've been to Costa Rica. And we couldn't choose a normal place in Costa Rica where there's nice, you know, wonderful tourism. No, we had to go to a little tiny place called Montezuma, or known by the locals as Montefuma because of all the marijuana smoking. It was hilarious, this little tiny crazy blazing hot humid town. We were there a month, and that's where my third book actually takes place is in that town. So when we do adventure, we aren't talking, you know, on a bus going through someplace. We're right. Like when we go, we've been to Italy twice, and both times we've stayed with family, with friends that we had met in other places, and they invited us, so we went and stayed with them. And well, actually in Florence we rented an apartment, and we thought, well, let's rent an apartment. So we just rented an apartment in Florence and walked all over the place. And the second time we went to Milan and just drove up north and went into the Dolomites and met her father, who lived in this little tiny town that never has tourists, and they were going, the Americanos are here. So it's just, you know, life is such an adventure for us. So, of course, my books are nothing about any of that, but the location is.
Yeah, it permeates. About the language school and a lot of what you just shared is just totally is there in the I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to say the name of this book.
El Tiburon.
Thank you.
El Tiburon. And it means the shark.
The shark. That, so I'll just say that, the shark.
The shark. Why not?
Because it's a wonderful book. What a romp!
It is fun.
And tell us a little bit about that center location that I had never did not know anything about, this kind of famous dump that is. Tell us about tell us about that.
Before we get into that, though, you need to sell some stuff.
Oh, I need to. Okay.
So this is our first night of live ads.
Oh.
So we're doing these live. So, Bobby, take it away.
I want to tell you about Target Freight Truckload. TFM is a division of Target Freight Management and, quite honestly, the finest truckload company in the United States. If you are looking for a reputable freight company for full truckloads that get to you 100% of the time, call Target Freight TFM Truckload. Call them today at 1-844-653-7789. Tell them you heard this on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something special for you. I'm going to give you the number one more time. Write it down. 1-844-653-7789.
They came back in the room to applaud.
They did. And we're back in the studio with Heidi Gilbert Nee Schuessman.
Schuessman.
And she's going to tell us a little bit about El Tiburon.
About the
story of the dump.
The main setting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the garbage dump is, it's called the Basaruro. It's hard to say because it's a R-U-R-O. But the people that live there are Guajeros. And the Guajeros is, well, it's kind of their name, but really in reality they're considered the cockroaches of society. And honestly, most third world countries' garbage dumps have cities living in them, which is even sadder. I mean, I would like to think this is the only place, and it is not. And the city dump has a city inside of it, and the Guatemala city dump, the capital of Guatemala, has a humongous garbage dump. And there's about 11,000 people that live inside the garbage dump, and about 6,000 of them are children.
Astounding. Oh, wow. It's just astounding to me, you know?
Well, they rectified the situation because they had a... I don't remember if it was National Geographic, but it was a large magazine that came in, and they looked into it. They researched it, and they talked to the people, and they did a big story on it. And so then the human rights people who really, the activists really care about that, began to put pressure on Guatemala. And so they now do not permit anybody to come to the city dump at all. You cannot go there. It's off limits to anybody. And you can get a pass to go, but you're escorted. And then they also took and built a wall between the city and that they've made out of garbage and the garbage dump, so that they can officially say that there's not a city inside the city garbage dump. It's the city's on the outside, because they put a wall between them. So now the people go back and forth through the wall. They've made holes in it, and they travel back and forth to the wall. And they have to rifle through... There's needles and glass and metal, and they get wounds and they lose limbs, they get infections. Their children are scavenging for food, looking for a half a banana. You know, they make about, I think it's $1.25 a day if they work all day, and they might come up with enough to sell to do that. And so some of them, what they do is they'll collect like doll parts. And I feature that in the book as one of the main houses. And they call, I call it the doll house. And it's a home of a lovely woman. And she is a single mother. And she takes all these doll parts that are collected. And so they have a little bit of a kind of almost a co-op, you might say. Mm-hmm. And so some of them have maybe some appliances, and that would be a different house. And one of them has medicines that they've found. And so they work together to separate their garbage and give it to each other, but only a very few do that, because most of it is so competitive that they can't afford that. And you can't afford to not have children. The children are such an important part of scavenging, and they can sell the little things out on the streets more, so you want to have more children because they die. And so the outsiders come in all the time, the gangs. They use the people in the garbage dump as though they're a harvest. And they come in when they reach a ripe age, and they go to the garbage section that has the people who are the healthiest, because they have to climb into the garbage more. And you have to compete for the truck when it comes in. You know, you need to jump on the side of the truck, and you put your hand on it. When the truck comes in, you walk over and put your hand on it, and that's your truck. And that's sort of official. But so there's a lot of competition. So the gangs will come in and snag those particular people and kidnap them, put them in gangs or the women, sex slavery. And so it's a tragic part of their everyday existence, and it's real. That's not stuff I made up. My characters are made up, and, you know, they have, the thing I like about my characters is my book is not a sob story.
No, it's not.
How sad these people are.
Right.
It's how strong.
It's how strong they are. Yeah, it's.
They're the heroes of the book.
They are, and they have such love for each other, and it's such a unique setting, you know, to tell this story. Now, we have a couple of main characters. We have Sean. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Sean.
Well,
Sean and Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Now, Gary was not in the first book. The first book was it was Counterpart.
Right.
And they meet in that one. It's a Russian conspiracy story, basically based off what has been happening during the Cold War. And they've been creating replica homes for the people who are typically going to go into politics. So let's say a Kennedy, for example. Or a Rockefeller, or somebody that's, you know, it's likely that they could do that. And so they will create a replica home, a counterpart home in Russia, and they decorate it exactly the same dog and the same name dog, and the parents' names are the same. So this child, this counterpart, is raised in an identical fashion. And then when the time comes for this American to go off to college, they make the switch. And so when he comes back, the parent may notice there's a little bit of a difference, but what parent doesn't notice there's a little bit of a difference when your kid comes back from college?
Right.
And so then they go into politics as a spy or a counterpart. So Sean was a CIA agent in that, and Sport had accidentally come across. Sport's a physician, and her name's Janet Warwick, and she's a doctor. And she accidentally came across the evidence to prove all of this. And at the time, she just thought it was a jewelry case that was locked, and so she kept trying to break into it, not knowing it could have killed her. But that's Sport. She's daring. So anyway.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Isn't she feisty?
Yeah.
I don't know who this is.
Charge forward kind of woman.
She is. She is an amazing woman. She's a doctor, and she's athletic, and it's just really a fun.
Ziplining across the country.
Yes, yes. Not that I would know anything about that.
Well, I'm sure you've tried it.
When we were in Costa Rica, we did the ziplining. My goodness. So anyway, back to Sean. So Sean is the CIA agent. His job is to keep her alive long enough, well, just to keep her alive, and then they need the evidence, and they need her. But they fall in love. And so that's the first book. And then the second book, they're married. And I have to just right now just give an applaud to Venspire Publishing that they would consider this to be, it's an ethnic romance because Sport happens to be black. I didn't write it for that reason. That's what she looks like. And I don't choose what anybody looks like. I just describe them. And so she's black, and so they called it ethnic romance. But what I love is that they consider a married couple to be romance. That's
roommates?
Romance.
Oh, romance.
Yeah, the romance.
Yeah, that is a little odd, isn't it?
Isn't gone once they say I do, you know? Yeah. The romance continues.
This is a full-on romance book about a married couple. I love that they can see that instead of saying, well, what are we going to call this? They're like...
I have to tell you, and I towards the end of the book when they're trying to catch the shark...
Uh-huh.
You got so many people running in and out. I mean, my God, it was like trying to keep up with the Joneses. It was like, wait a minute, now who is this guy again? You know, you have to go back and reread it. You go, oh, and where does she come from?
That's a complex book.
Yeah, well, the last quarter of it certainly is.
Oh, so much is happening in the last part.
It's just going boom, 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 boom.
Everything. I had a hard time keeping track of all those drug lords. They all showed up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness,
yeah.
Guys. And then I'm describing, I'm going, this guy's interesting. So I'd have to write it. I'd write it, but then I'd have to write it down on a different piece of paper or a different page in my computer and write it down so I could remember, okay, where's he from again?
Right.
And it's the guy with the big mustache. Now, he's from Colombia, and this guy is from –
How did you have to do a lot of research on the cartel and that whole kind of the operation of what goes on?
Well, we were talking before the show started, and you were asking me about my last name being Schussmann. And I was telling you, Schussmann is an old Prussian name, and it means sharpshooter. And they were the protector shooters for the royal families in Prussia. And so this heritage of being in police has gone through my family. My father was a police officer. My nephew is a police officer. I have a nephew who's the DOJ. It just permeates my life. And so for me, it's always been a fascination anyway, all this interesting stuff. So researching it isn't quite as complex as it would be for somebody who didn't come from that background. But I research everything, and I am a very critical reader, and I don't like it when I think that a plot is becoming silly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very critical of that. And my husband Joe comes into play with that because my thing is to say, well, just kill him, you know. What are we even doing this for, this guy? You know, why would you wait? And you have a perfectly good opportunity right now to do it. And then he'll say, yeah, but if he did that, then this would happen. I'm like, oh, okay, good. So he really helps me a lot when it comes to keeping it rolling because I will stop myself as soon as it becomes unbelievable. I'm very critical of that. But I love to research. I research all my weaponry, and I had fun researching some of those crazy weapons that the government's producing for mass for crowd control. You know, some of the audio weapons, they're amazing.
I'm sitting here just listening. I know.
It's like, oh.
Let's ask her early.
Yeah. No, you go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, we have a tradition here. If you've listened to our show, then you know we have a critical question we ask everybody, because the name of this program actually is The Writer's Block. Have you ever had writer's block?
Well, yeah. Yes, I have. I have, but, you know, I have two ways of getting around it. One is to dialogue with Joe, and that helps me a lot. First, just dialoguing helps me, because then I can go all the way through to the point that I stopped, that I blocked. And then the other thing I do is I just write about in outline form what I generally think should be coming next. So I'll just describe, okay, they're going to go to Guatemala, and then they're going to go to Antigua. And once again, Antigua, where are they going to stay? And I'll start writing that, and next thing you know, my book starts to flow again. So that's my main source of getting past the writer's block, is to write about not the story, but the outline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that we've had so many interesting answers, mm-hmm. from, no, I don't get writer's block, I don't believe
right.
in it, to,
wasn't
I
that
just,
Claire Fullerton?
I think it was Claire.
It was Claire, it was yeah. Claire. Actually, it was. there was two of them that said that. Both Vince Beyer authors, I might add.
Oh, boy.
I think D.K. Christie was one, too.
Uh-huh, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And, who was it that said that she just goes back and rewrites the chapter?
Let's see, Margaret Brownlee talks about changing the name.
She changes names. And, Margaret Brownlee changes names.
And a couple of people just talked about, well, they didn't really think of it as a block. It's really just hitting an impasse, or realizing they maybe had to rethink, you know, got themselves in a corner and kind of had to rethink how to, but it wasn't really like a block where
redesign
I just
the
can't,
where you,
you know,
are.
I can't go forward.
I had to add a character in this particular book. This book took me a year to write.
I know. This was...
And this one, because I had to research all of the Cajun language, and it's not the same. It's everywhere you go in Louisiana, their language is different. Oh. So in the particular parish they are, which is St. Landry Parish, which was at one time was the largest parish in Louisiana, they speak a combination of Creole, Cajun, English, and French.
Yeah.
So I you have to go into Cajun websites and get the old Cajun, because the way they speak now is nothing like they spoke back then. And so I have a glossary in the back of this book.
You would have to. With mine, I can say a few Spanish words and people can figure it out.
Right. But I mean, this it's just like, but I invented a character because these guys were kind of floundering a little bit.
Yes.
And so I invented a character that had been hiding in the bush for 3 months, and he's a little Irishman that actually had run away from the British Army in Africa.
Oh.
And he had caught a freighter and wound up in Louisiana and wound up in St. Landry Parish, and they happened to find him. And he's got a mouth on him, as most Banny Irishmen have to do. But his accent is hard to write, too.
Yeah.
You know, so... But he's fun. Kieran is fun.
Do you? I always love to kind of ask this question. How do you keep track of ideas, maybe for future things that you might be thinking about writing about? You know, do you journal? Do you talk into a tape recorder? You know, do you have a way that you get a hold of ideas and keep them?
Yeah, for sure. I have a page, a document in my computer that's just called Ideas. And so in that, I throw that in there. So I also do, well, that's mainly how I keep track of things. I have, of course, like any writer, I've got a ton of books that have been started. And right now I'm currently writing one on pirates with the same characters, but it's modern-day piracy off Costa Rica. So, you know, then he just gave me an idea the other day of a book, and he told me, and I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, I want to just stop writing the one I'm halfway through and start writing that one, you know, but... Unlike you, I do not write fast. It takes me several years to write a book. It's a long time, but I work full time, you know.
Well, so do I. And, yeah, you know, we do this here weekly, and, you know, and then I got to sit down and find time to write.
It's really, really hard to find time.
This book came because my wife suggested that she send these characters someplace else.
The Return?
Out of there. Yeah, these guys are from Arizona, and they're really out of their element. No horses. They have to... their transport is a pirogue.
Is what?
It's a pirogue. Pirogue is a little flat-bottom canoe.
Oh, okay.
That's how the Cajuns get around the swamp.
Yeah, we just flew over that area, and I was looking at it from the airplane thinking, how in the world?
That's a lot of water.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
It just, wow, it is really an amazing thing to see.
It really, truly is.
Yeah, we just came back from 2 weeks in the Caribbean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went to the island called Providencial. It's on the Turks and Caicos. Did some scuba diving. It was a good trip.
Not anything that I'm
really
ever interested
great
in.
Pictures on their blog.
Really, I haven't seen it. Yeah. Let me get another ad out of the way. And I also want to say, if you want to call and talk,
oh yes,
to our guest this evening, Heidi Gilbert or Nee Schussman.
Schussman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The number here is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And along with Target Freight, the Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley and Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall. And this is the second live ad we've done tonight. So there you have it. ULTL shippers out there, chances are you're looking for a great company to help you move your freight. Look no further. Target Freight Management is and should be your company of choice. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to get your freight moving the way you want it to move. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com. Again, that number is 1-888-653-1323. You won't be sorry you called them, and I have to tell you, I use them, and I'm never sorry I called them, so there you have it. Okay, back to Heidi.
Well, hi.
Hi.
I'm waiting for the audience.
Oh, I never applaud myself.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay, well, here. All right. You guys are going to make me do it. There you go. Okay. And you know what? He gave us also a little CSI.
Genre?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, kind of. let's see.
What got you into writing? Yeah. I'm kind of interested because I read in your bio that you sent us is that you're a physical therapist and yada yada. And what got you into writing?
Well, I didn't have a choice. I mean, you know, it's like I'm an artist also, and it just is escaping. You know, you're just waiting for it to jump out of your body, and so. The thing that I always wrote, I loved English. It was my favorite class. I always just aced it. I always liked writing stories, and I was all over the place. I never wrote anything serious. And then I started writing an email when we go on our trips to let family and friends know what I was up to. And then the email list started growing and growing. And the list got to be about 300 or 400 people that were keeping track of our trips. And I would email like 2 or 3 times a week. So I decided to start a blog. And so I put all of it onto the blog because I'd saved the emails. And then now I just blog. And then I send an email saying I blogged. But that's just writing because I wanted to remember the crazy stories. You know, the things that you see that happen. You just go, wow. You know, I want to remember that. And so I will describe people and things that are happening. And more so than I do really what I'm seeing, like land. I'm more interested in the crazy cultural things that just happen in front of us. But my book came from having a dream. I was happened in the book to be a very petite African-American Japanese girl, which I'm not, but in my dream I was, and I was quite quite good looking.
Let me correct
which
that.
Which you are.
Because you're on the radio, you can be anything you want to be.
Well,
you know. Until the photos come out later.
Right, until the photos come out. Then it's all a lie.
So in this dream, I'm in a jewelry store, and I come across this box, and then there's this shootout, and I'm the only one. I go over to the guy that had the box in his hand, and he says, run with it, you know, run. Don't let anybody get it. And so I dash across the parking lot with bullets flying past me and leap over a fence, which I could not do. And I run through this abandoned neighborhood, and I go up into this house, and I run up the tattered stairs, and I into the attic, and I fall to the floor just panting, hoping that the people who are trying to kill me don't catch me. And then this little old voice said, hello. And it scared me so bad it woke me up. And then I went in and I wrote everything down. And that's the first chapter of Counterpart, is that. And that is what essentially was the beginning of it for me. This dream that scared me.
Wow. Have you had other experiences like that? Like last week, Joe Harrington talked about the power of dream and for him. And so have you had...
have a caller.
I do.
You
do?
Hi, welcome to the Writer's Block. Who are we speaking to?
You're speaking to Claire.
Claire!
I knew I could count on you, Claire.
Claire, how nice to hear from you.
Hey, Heidi's in your chair.
It's so good to hear your voice. And listen, you all are doing so well with your live ads. I can't tell you how impressed I am.
Oh, really? Are you kind of like sticking your finger down your throat?
No, I mean, you're actually doing a really good job. I think it's wonderful. I actually like it better than... anything recorded. I'd rather listen to both of you.
Oh, good. Well, thanks, Claire.
Thank you.
You're back on my Christmas list.
Thank you so much, and I love you. Now that you're my Facebook friend, I love following you.
There you go.
So do you have anything?
I have a question for Heidi.
Good.
Yes, Claire.
I wanted to ask her about her interviews with fellow authors that she's found, and I'm wondering if she could talk a little bit about that, about what gave her the idea to, you know, reach out to fellow authors, and also about the questions. I'm always really curious about if she legitimately wants the answers to some of these questions, or if she's coming at it from the premise of, I want to showcase these authors. I just think it's such a wonderful, magnanimous idea, and I wanted to hear her talk a little bit about that.
Well, Claire, you're not going to think I'm quite so wonderful and magnanimous when you hear why I did it. But what happened is I do love hearing what other authors are up to, and I think it's just really interesting because, you know, we need the support and the ideas of each other. But, you know, the idea when you're going to be a writer is you're supposed to have a website. And I thought, oh, man, and I've already got two blogs, and it's like I'm supposed to have a writer's blog. So I thought, okay, I'll open a writer's blog. So I got this writer's blog up and running, and I thought, now what am I going to do with it? Because I really do not like to write about Heidi. I just think that's just, to me, it's a really boring subject, and I don't want to write about it. So I'm thinking, I don't really want to write about that. And how many times can you write about your book? And then I thought, you know what I'll do is I'll get my blog up and running by seeing if the fellow authors would like to be interviewed. And so I just threw it out there, you know, would anybody like to be interviewed? And, of course, Claire, you know, you could almost hear her shout on the phone. Yes, I'll do it. And so she was, I think you were my first one, weren't you, Claire?
I definitely was, yeah. I was the first one through your gate, and very proud of it. It went really well.
It's turned into almost like a
hobby. And so have you used the same interview questions subsequently?
Yes, I have, almost exactly. One of the things I did, as you know, Claire, is that I put the questions out there, and then I asked the author to please change the questions to suit their own styles or what they're trying to showcase and what they want the reader to know about, because I don't know, you know, I would like them. And so some of them have done that, but most of them actually do follow all of my questions, which I think is really fun. I love hearing their advice to new writers. I think that's really fun. You know, I remember, who was it, Claire, that wrote... her answer to the question, what advice do you have to new writers, was butt in seat. Do you remember that? That was hilarious.
I have to go. I read, and Claire, I'm glad you brought that up, because I also had read a number of them on her blog, and they're such great questions. I thought, well, we need to start asking some of these questions potentially even
here. Did you write them down?
Yeah, I have them right here.
You know what my favorite question is?
That's a great idea, Bobby. Yeah. That really is. That's an incredible idea.
I love to ask, where do you write? What's your workspace?
What's your workspace?
Because it is so different. Everybody has these crazy different things to say. It's so fun.
Yes, and I think we talked about that with you maybe even too, Claire, but that is really fun. And some people like to write with everything happening all around them, like hectic things happening, because that really puts them, you know, in the mood. And I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know how you can, like, think when you have...
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I cannot relate to that. I don't want the wind blowing when I'm writing.
No, see, I'm the complete opposite.
I don't want to hear anything from anybody. It's just too distracting. But I sure am enjoying this show. I'm going to let you all go. But it's just been another joy fest. I just adore this show so much.
Oh, thank you, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
Did you know that we replayed your show on Thanksgiving?
What? Of course you did, and I deserve that.
Yes, you did. and oh, so much more.
And humility is definitely not my law.
Yep, check. We got
okay,
that.
Well, listen, big hug to all there. And Joe, I hope to meet you someday. And wonderful show. And Heidi, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon. We'll meet in between L.A. and Sacramento.
It will happen, my sister. It will.
Hey, okay. Claire, come back see us.
I will, Jim. All the best to you.
Okay, bye-bye. You too. Have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
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 Yeah, I thought Claire Fullerton. Her questions, some of your questions, do you see yourself in any of the characters? Well, that is a great question.
Yeah.
So do you see yourself in any of the characters?
I do. I see myself in most of the characters, especially, of course, the female characters. And I have to say I do see Joe in a lot of the male characters. But I don't see myself as one of them. I would say probably the most is Sport. You know, I'm in the medical field. She's in the medical field, you know. And I have hypoglycemia, and she has hypoglycemia, which the poor thing, that's one. You know, I think it's really fun and funny to write about those silly things that plague us, you know, just the little stuff that makes us real.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that. And so, yeah, I would say I probably relate to her the most. I think it would be really fun to meet her, you know, and mm-hmm. to talk to her. She's always coming up with, and she surprises me.
Does she talk to you?
She does.
Because she does. Joe, padded room.
We've already come to that conclusion. That's not a new
question. So you're working on, it sounded like there's a third book, mm-hmm. Continuing with these characters?
Yes, or? They are. They are in it. Sport at this point is behaving herself, and she's up in Sacramento, and she's surprisingly behaving herself. Sean is involved in the investigation. And it's about modern-day pirating. And
which is a hot button right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
And this is a little bit different angle, and I'm not going to tell you what the angle is, but it's not. Usually pirating is either robbing the boat, which is not as common as people think. It does happen, certainly. But one of the biggest pirating is off of Somalia, has to do with fuels
right.
and liquid piracy. Right. And they'll just pull up next to them. And mine's not about either one of those. But it takes place off Costa Rica, and it moves its way down. It's a lot about the yachting world, and I've had to really research that. I mean, I've been on yachts, but not enough to be writing about them. So it's been a struggle, and I've really brought in some people who are very knowledgeable about yachting and asked them. I've sat down with them for hours and talked to them about yachts. And so it's been a challenge. I do have the character at the end of El Tiburon. I don't know if you guys remember. I can't believe I drew a blank as to his name. What's his name? The guy at the very end that protects.
Gary?
No, not Gary. He's his partner.
And everybody thought he was on the other side.
Yeah, well, the one that has the long blonde dreadlocks, the one that has schizophrenia.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's Craig.
Craig.
So Craig has, my specialty as a physical therapist, I work with the geriatric population. I'm a specialist in cognitive and psychiatric disorders. And I lecture on it at Sac State, and that's my world, is psychiatric disorders. So I'm very familiar with the bipolar and the schizophrenia and the paranoid schizophrenia in particular. And so this gentleman has that, but he is one. He protects Sport and he keeps her alive. Mm-hmm. Well, the third book, he is the main character, and it's really fun because I'm able to include the reader in his internal dialogue, you know, which is really, really fun, and it's really interesting.
You know, this hour has, or this 50 minutes has flown by.
I know.
And we've got to get. Can we get your information? Can you let people know where they can write you and Facebook and whatever?
Well, I'm kind of a doofus when it comes to this kind of thing, but I do have the three blogs, and my Facebook I have is H. Schussman as my Facebook, and I would just absolutely love to hear from you. And I have my author page is H. Schussman, that's HSCHUSSMAN.blogspot.com. And that is all about authors. I also do book reviews, and I write a review about it. And I do a unique review because I do a from a writer's point of view and from a reader's point of view. I'm trying something different, and it's been fun. I also write a dashing bold adventure that is dashing bold adventure with no space .blogspot.com, and that's because I opened a fortune cookie once that said, "Life to you is a dashing bold adventure," and I went, "Yep." So then my food blog is actually called The Wine Tribe, but the name or the title or what do you call it, the link, is The First Miracle. But it's instead of being in the word first, it's 1ST. So the1stmiracle.blogspot.com. And that is about a wine group that we have of three couples, and we meet at each other's house once a month.
And those dinners look amazing.
I bet they do.
Oh, my gosh. And even the dishware and the place setting. I mean, it's just...
Trying to compete with these guys is exhausting. I need 3 months to get ready.
Well, Heidi, we really thank you for coming down from Rancho Cordova and visiting us and bringing your husband, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's been sitting over there amazingly, very quietly.
Quietly sitting next to my...
Next to your husband, Jim, who's also very quiet.
Big smiles on their faces the whole show.
And, you're welcome to come back anytime you'd like.
Oh, thank you.
Just
so
get a hold
much.
Of the bookie and she'll set it up for you.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. There's so much more to say.
Oh, absolutely.
There?
And,
oh, my
you
gosh.
Know, yeah.
We're,
well, that's like we tell you, you come in, you sit down, and before you realize it, you're done.
Absolutely.
You know, so you finished your first live interview.
I did.
How about
and
that?
Did you have a good time?
I did.
It good,
and
then you got.
I thought it would be.
And you got to talk to your buddy.
And we had a caller. Wow.
So anyway, next week we have our Christmas show, and
yes.
The entire Writer's Block crew will be here. The bookie will be here. Jim, Bobby, the other co-host we have, Russ
will be here,
and we're just going to reminisce about Christmas's past and about our childhood and. It'll just be a fun, kind of a laid-back show. Everybody's welcome to call. All of our writers are welcome to call us.
Yeah, we'd love to have people call in with a favorite Christmas memory or
it's just going to be a real, real mellow show, and that's about what we're doing next week.
Right.
And then I think we're going to do this show.
New Year's Eve.
And then the Christmas show we'll do on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So we'll get these two, the latest ones, and then we'll run those for get that to Ronan, and he'll get those set up for us. And other than that,
we have to make one more quick announcement,
which is
because this book that we've been talking about all evening will be published.
It's actually available at the end of this month,
December 31st.
Right.
2015.
That would be El Tiburón.
Yeah. El Tiburón. Order it now. Pre-order it now.
Order it now.
Yeah.
And we thank you all for listening, and we will be talking to you next Thursday. Y'all have a good time, and Merry Christmas to everyone out there.